Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our slogan is EDH, community, now, and always. Before we get started, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And if you're interested in picking up your very own MTG in Quarantine brand of playmat, head on over to Inked Gaming, that's inkedgaming.com, to find your very own MTG in Quarantine playmat, currently available in the full color logo as well as the special monochrome version. You can find the links to both of those in the description of my link tree. I will be putting those in the episode description, and definitely make sure to utilize my affiliate link, also in the link tree, to help support the channel when you make a purchase. Again, that is Inked Gaming, I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. As most of you have probably heard by now, I've really been getting into CDH a lot lately, and a large part of that, while it has been online, has also been getting back in person with my local CDH meta. And so today's episode is going to be talking about trying to build a grassroots EDH, or in this case, CDH scene in your local community, and trying to foster that sense of community amongst a shared group of interests and shared people. So, in order to do that, I have a very special guest here with me today. I would like to introduce all of you to Topher, who is the administrator of the local Portland CDH deck scene. So without further ado, Topher, nice to have you on the show, finally.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good having you. But again, before we get started here, could you basically explain exactly what kinds of socials we have for the local PDX scene, in case there's any local PDX listeners out there who are interested in trying their hand out at CH?
We are available on Twitter at PDX CDH. And then we also have a Discord server for the same thing. One thing that I intentionally wanted to do at the very beginning was make sure that if you Googled the words Portland and CDH, that somehow the first couple of links would go to one of our links. So literally, if you just Google Portland and CDH, you'll definitely find one of my links.
For sure, for sure. So anyway, again, this episode is going to be talking a lot about the grassroots efforts. So it may not necessarily be a lot of the usual kinds of discussions that I have on this show where, you know, it's usually about the gameplay or it's about some aspects of CDH, but it's a big part of the community. And again, with my new slogan, the EDH community now always, that I've added to the show very recently, I really like talking about how we can utilize EDH and Magic the Gathering in general to foster community and shared understanding of this common hobby. So I think the first real question here for you today, Topher, is to walk us through how you basically got this group, or, you know, how you effectively organize the local CDH group here, and really kind of explain your role in making it grow and thrive.
Well, at the very beginning, I was having a difficult time finding people to play in-person CDH with. And I was being able to find the kind of community that I was looking for online, but in person, it was mostly playing against people who were playing high power or people who didn't really have a very good understanding of what the CDH meta looked like. And I knew, like, in my hearts of hearts, there had to have been some kind of CDH scene here and people who were playing on a regular basis. And so I went to a lot of different shops. I went to every open play commander night that I could go to. And I eventually landed at Mox Boarding House on Wednesday, where when I started going about 6 or 7 months ago, there was about a pod and a pod and a half of CDH players. And generally, when we'd have about 6 or 7 people, we were so focused on wanting to play CDH that the people who couldn't be in the original pod where the first four would literally just sit around and watch that game go on and wait for their turn to play afterward. And knowing that there was that level of people that would go to an open play night when there was plenty of casual tables that were available, but were like honed in on wanting to play CDH, I knew that this couldn't be the only seven people who were doing this. And so one of the first things I did was just straight up start a Facebook thread, become these people's friends like on Facebook and, you know, develop relationships with them, and started the thread that I just labeled PDX CDH. And that thread now has about 30 or 40 people in it who regularly talk, but they're kind of more of our like tight knit kind of CDH friends because we go to a lot of each other's houses and stuff like that. But that slowly just escalated. So it was like, first it was like, just to start a thread, get these people talking to each other. Get these people talking to each other more often than they do when they just see each other on Wednesday. Get these people to have more of a conversation about what they want their scene to look like than just like, hey, which table can we get at the local casual commander night? And so it escalated from there into a Facebook group, into a Discord. And now the Facebook group has about 100, 120 something members in that Facebook group that are regularly talking to each other about CDH and regularly posting things about what their new decks are and their new brews are. And that's ultimately what I wanted, was to create a platform for people who are already interested in the same thing and who live in the same geographical area to start collaborating on what they wanted their scene to look like.
For sure, for sure. And again, you did mention that there were just a few CDH players the first few times you went there who maybe couldn't get a game, but they didn't necessarily decide to play casual. They came there to play CDH specifically. And I think that's a really important thing to harp on here, is that, again, there is a lot of discourse out there, and y'all out there who are listening to this have probably heard it, that there is quote-unquote bad blood in some cases between casual players and CDH. And this is a very unfortunate occurrence, but, you know, it happens when we have such an open-ended format like this, is that you might go to a casual commander night and you might not find a whole lot of people who are interested in playing the most competitive end of the format, because a lot of people have come into the format to play sillier, slower Magic, let's say, and that's completely fine. I play most of my games as casual myself, personally, but again, it's nice to be able to have that sense of belonging where you can find a pod to be able to play CDH if you would like to. And I definitely think that in my experience, having gone a couple of times at this point, where now we have what, 3, 4, maybe 5 pods firing now every Wednesday, something like that?
Yeah, we've had 5 pods was our max, and it was really kind of hilarious when we had 5 pods going, because that Mox is huge. It is a big space, but there's not that many tables there. And it's gotten to a point where us in the CDH local community are kind of even talking about, do we need to have a CDH open play night so that we can leave space open for the people who came to play casual, and we could have space for ourselves. So yeah, it's generally at that location is going to be about 3 to 4 pods. We have gotten up to 5 pods, but now there are actually other commander nights at other LGSs as well that now have a reputation for, hey, you could show up here with a CDH deck with the intention of playing CDH and you can find a game. The PGS, which is Portland Game Store, on Tuesdays, they have about 2 to 3 pods of CDH there. So we're now at a point where multiple days of the week you can regularly find an in-person game of CDH.
And that's really cool, because, again, you know, pre-pandemic times, I don't really remember, you know, when I was going to a game store playing EDH on casual night, I don't really remember anyone playing a CDH, or if they were, they certainly weren't advertising it. I think that a lot of the potential rifts between those two parts of the community kind of pigeonholed, I guess, the more competitive players, and kind of alienated them in a way. And it's good to see that, you know, now that we've had a chance to think about this, now that there's been a chance to really build that community more, that there's more people kind of coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, I want to play CDH. I just want an opportunity to play against like-minded people. And that's really cool.
Yeah, because I would say the the probably the biggest gap in the conversation between high power casual and CDH is not only the kind of animosity that you were mentioning earlier that we already kind of know and has definitely been explored in a lot of the different podcasts and a lot of different areas already, but also the lack of being able to reach out to people who would be able to show you what the CDH meta is going to look like, what are going to be the play patterns, what are going to be the deck building expectations that would go into trying to build a competitive deck. Being able to have those conversations with people who are playing high power, because everyone who I've talked to who plays CDH, we pretty much all have the same origin story. I mean, it's always, I really liked this commander. It was my favorite deck. It was the deck that I was extremely good at, and I kept tuning in and tuning in and tuning in, and eventually it got to a point where I didn't have anyone to play with, and I couldn't play that particular deck because people didn't enjoy playing against it. And giving those players an outlet to say, like, hey, like come play with us, like come play with us, like even play the deck that you were playing right now as is, like come play that game into a CDH pod and see how well it does. If there are adjustments that need to be made due to the differences in the meta, we will pleasantly have that conversation with you. Because I find that people who are quasi interested in CDH but don't know how to access the online meta, you do find a lot of them just kind of wandering around these open play days going like, I really like to play casual, I like to play higher power casual, but I have two or three decks that now, because of how much I've invested into high power, I can't play anymore. And like, reaching out to that disenfranchised person, I think, is one responsibility that CDH players and CDH or the CDH community in general kind of has a responsibility to reach out to.
Mm-hmm. Especially since there's been a big proliferation of competitive content in the last, I'd say, year or two. It's obviously not just my channel that's been getting more into that, but there seems to be, again, with my thumb on the Twitter pulse again, that there is a lot more interest, especially the last few months here, I would say, in getting into more competitive commanders. People are starting to kind of break down some of those barriers to entry and are starting to question what if, instead of just putting up the hand and saying, no, I don't want to play competitive because that's, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have to go into that. But it's really nice to be able to see a lot of those barriers getting broken down. I mean, again, the listeners are very familiar at this point with my own story to get into CDH, where I used to completely not like it. And I finally decided to give it a try, and now I really enjoy it, and I'm playing with our local meta a lot over at Mox Boarding House on Wednesday nights and really enjoying my time there. So it definitely demonstrates that this is a very open meta. You just have to find the people. And honestly, you know, Magic is a very complex game in a way, but sometimes finding a game can actually be far harder than any interaction that can actually happen on pieces of cardboard.
Yeah, actually, I think it was on your podcast. I was listening to your interview with the Hermit Druid, and he said something that always really struck me as really true of the CDH community in general on when it comes to pub stomping specifically, about how like that's just not the experience we're looking for. Like we're not looking to sit down at a table where our deck clearly like outclasses the other decks at the table and just get easy wins, and how we're looking to have hard fought wins in an environment that our decks are intentionally geared to do that. And so giving people a place where, hey, like, you're not going to get an easy win here, and when you do win, it's going to be something that you hard fought for, I think is, for me as a CDH player, is one of the things that I really like about the format. I really like about the format that, like, when you win, it's like you really accomplished something, like, that was extremely difficult to do.
Oh, yeah, especially when you come into the CDH like I have and you really haven't thought of a lot of these sorts of interactions before. You take something that might be kind of a strange concept and then you effectively put it onto turbo drive. You push it up to 11, per se, on the old Spinal Tap reference there. And you basically say, I'm going to try to do this thing, whatever it is, as efficiently and as quickly as possible, whereas in casual, you might kind of dirtle to get there. But in CDH, you're just trying to go full throttle. And again, like I like to say to people who are kind of questioning, you know, what exactly is CDH? It's basically the idea that you're going to give everyone your best shot with the expectation that they're going to do the same for you. And so you're effectively getting a very different play experience in a lot of cases than the majority of casual tables, I say. Not all, but it's definitely a difference of expectation, and you really go into it expecting and knowing what you're going to find there, and that's really the allure of it.
Yeah, it's one joke I like to make. I play a lot of a deck called Blue Farm that has Tim Nacrom at the helm of it, and Crom like gets to swing with haste and gets to attack generally through a lot of the portion of the game because it is a 4/4 with flying. And one joke that I like to make is like, all right, well, I'm going to make the anti-casual decision and just swing at the person with the lowest life total. So yeah, it's definitely about giving it your best shot and definitely about trying to play as correctly as you possibly can, which is definitely what drew me to CDH in the first place.
Yeah, because there's honestly a lot of differences, I'd say, between CDH and more casual, or at least kind of the more long-standing held casual beliefs. Again, like you just said, in CDH, you're going to be swinging at the player who is open far more than you will in a more casual game, because there is that player may not be as harmless as they may appear, because they may just be able to, bam, instant speed, ad nauseam, just slam something down the table and win before their next turn. I mean, there is something to be said about putting pressure on everybody. But again, but when you're playing CDH, in a lot of cases, you know, you just deal with it, because you would do the same thing in the other way around. So it's a really cool attitude and way to look at this format without having to say, you know, I'm never going to play casual again. You can play casual, you can play CDH, and you can still enjoy the whole game. And it's really cool to be able to find people who you can immediately say CDH, and if they say, yeah, well, then, okay, go sit down, shuffle up your decks, draw your hand, and let's play. And you don't really necessarily have to worry so much about trying to go through Rule Zero. And that's definitely one allure for CDH out there that I've noticed.
Yeah, definitely. Shivam, I listen to his podcast a lot. And one thing that he says on his podcast is that the biggest problem with Rule Zero and EDH today is that people just need to be sitting at the right tables. And I definitely think that's one of the biggest aspects that drives me to do the types of grassroots organizing that I try to do for our local CDH community, and by throwing tournaments and different things like that that are geared towards CDH, is to make sure that players are sitting at the right tables when they're wanting to play CDH.
Okay, so I think that'll lead us into the next question here, Topher. It's kind of a two-part question, so I'm gonna ask it all together and you can choose which one to get started with. In these past 6-7 months that you've been this organizer for this grassroots community here for CDH in Portland, what would you say is your biggest triumph over that time period as far as being an organizer? And what would you say some of your biggest, or if not your biggest challenge, has been in that same time period?
I would say that, first off, I do work with a team. It's a team of about 5 of us who are the admins for all the different CDH pages and or PDX CDH pages, and I do like to kind of view it as just like the whole community is doing all of this different work at the same time. I'm just the person who specifically like first wanted to get everybody in the room together and first wanted to throw CDH a regular monthly CDH tournament. So I'd say that the biggest triumph of PDX CDH in general has been to when I was first starting to play CDH, and I would go around to a lot of other shops that had things that were like labeled EDH tournaments, the metas would be wildly off base. Like, I mean, straight up people like playing LED on one side of the table and then another person on the other side of the table playing an unsleeved, unmatted precon that they spent $50 to throw some more cards into. Like, I mean, I've literally sat at that table before, like for a tournament that I paid to play to see who was going to be the winner at the end of the night. And so having proxy policies, that was one of the things that we first like really wanted to hone in on, was having tournaments that had very like open proxy policies. And the fact that we now have a monthly tournament here in Portland that it's 100% pro proxy. You literally can show up with your printer paper proxies and proxy your entire deck, which I wanted that to be the kind of standard that we were shooting for, not only to address the fact that CDH is an extremely expensive format, and it's the monetary barrier into this format is, I mean, most even content creators and most people who play this format extremely regularly and have for years and years and years still use proxies. I also wanted to give higher power players the ability to kind of like look at the CDH database, which I know you've talked about on your podcast before what the CDH database is, but just it's a collection of decks that content creators have used tournament results to kind of just show what are the, I think there's now 180 decks on it. Basically the 180 decks that kind of like comprise the top end of the CDH meta. I wanted somebody to be able to just look at that database if they wanted to and just literally copy paste and print it out and then show up and play. And for that to be like, okay, if this is your first CDH tournament and this is the first thing that you've been able to do, like I wanted a person who was like, I don't even know how to brew a CDH deck. I couldn't imagine brewing a CDH deck, just being able to have that resource. So, because there are a lot of CDH staples that they're cheaper and you could buy them if you wanted a budget list. And eventually, if you're playing CDH for a long period of time, you should probably own those cards. But they're so niche and specific to CDH that $4 or $5 asking somebody to buy like for something that they might not even find out that they like, but to spend $4 or $5 per card for a 100-card deck, even if you're allowed like the 20 proxies that most places do for EDH or CDH tournaments, I still wanted them to be able to buy things like Reign of Filth. That's a card that like really doesn't have much use in a lot of other places except for CDH, and I believe it's like a $3 or $4 card. Like basically having someone be able to just straight up look off the database, just print out a deck, show up and play at a tournament that stakes are on the line. Because I think that's what a lot of people are looking for from a tournament experience. Like there is, or from a competitive experience, is for the games to mean something. You know, for the games to be like not just that you put forth your best game and everyone at the table is putting forth their best game, but the thing that separates tournament play from normal play really is just that, like, when I won the couple of games that I won tonight, that means that I know my ranking versus everyone else in the room and how well they did. And I wanted to create a space for that for EDH, because a lot of the stuff that was going on before PDX CDH wasn't going on or wasn't operating, those tournaments were like $40 or $50. They didn't have very good proxy policies at all. Some of them like wouldn't allow proxies at all. And so I'd say our biggest accomplishment was addressing those two problems of making it affordable. It's $15 at the door, and prize pool is determined by how many, or the scale to participation. So it's just determined by how many people show up, and all of the buy-ins go to the prize pool. So first place generally gets something about $100, $120 in Thor credit, and then it goes, decreases from there to third, fourth, or fifth. So the thing that I wanted to do was create something that felt like a CDH FNM, and I think that we accomplished that original goal. I would say the biggest challenge that PDX CDH has faced is honestly the conversation around CDH viability, because it is so touchy, especially like that's one of the touchier issues from going from high power to CDH. And it's even unclear from like what the CDH meta is like doing right now, but just does in general. Like it is hard to just kind of make blanket statements, hey, that's not a CDH command. You know, and but there are commanders that just they're not like, especially when you go with the game plans that are working in high power, and especially when you're working within the confines of this strategy that works in high power and trying to convert it over to CDH, there are a lot of spaces where it's just not going to happen because the win con is just not effective enough, or the deck with how the deck is operating, it doesn't let you play enough interaction. Or straight up the cards that are involved in your win con are just too high CMC. Like there are a myriad of different issues with a lot of different commanders, because generally a CDH commander is going to either draw you cards, is going to be a tutor, or in some cases provide you mana or be a combo piece. And there are a lot of high power cards that they're shooting for high power, which is more about value generation over time, because that's what EDH, like casual, really, really its main focus is, like you said about the dirtily thing. I don't really think that EDH and casual is really silly. It's just like more like focusing on an axis of how do I generate as much value by the time that I get to turn 5 or 6, 7, 8, so I can outvalue my opponents, while CDH is more like not about value generation, but more about how quickly can we influence the board, shut down the board, or just win the game. And getting someone from a value generation mindset into kind of a more CDH mindset and what the viability looks like between those two, that conversation has been extremely difficult with many people. And I do feel like in sometimes that I've had that conversation with people who are interested in CDH, that I've personally failed on being able to, you know, increase the CDH community by getting somebody who was into high power and was interested in CDH over to CDH, because I fumbled that conversation of being like, yeah, you probably got to run Force of Will. Like, it's probably necessary for your deck to run it. When that person, you know, like one person I'm thinking of particularly, didn't like the fact that he was in four colors and Force of Will does make you pitch another card. And that's, like, a lot of that stuff is valid. A lot of that stuff, like makes sense. But with CDH, it just doesn't matter. Like, Force of Will is free. So that's been probably the biggest challenge, is the conversation around viability in of certain cards and certain strategies that work really well in high power, but probably are not going to work in CDH. Not to say that fringe decks in CDH aren't a thing, and to not say that, like, who knows what the future of CDH is going to look like, and who knows what's going to be viable in the future. I mean, especially with how much the meta is shifting now. So, yeah, I would say that was the biggest challenge of trying to do grassroots organizing and trying to get as many people involved as possible.
So I think we'd be remiss to talk about tournaments there and not mention the very recent Marchesa 2022 up at Mox Boarding House Bellevue, an event that I believe you went to along with several others from the local scene.
Yes. I went to that. We had 5 people from the local Portland scene make it to the top 16, and 2 people from the local Portland scene were in the final 4 at the final table, and one of them won. So, yeah, we had a very, very good strong showing at Marchesa from the Portland scene. The thing that I want to touch on with Marchesa in general is that Monarch Events is the group. It's a nonprofit that they do a lot for charity, specifically for the domestic violence hotline. And they throw CDH tournaments to raise that money for charity. And they have been basically doing the grassroots organizing when they originally started, and now they're doing it on a more national basis, but it's still fan run. Like, none of them are Wizards employees, none of them are Star City Games employees, none of them are employees for any of the larger corporations and larger groups that throw these massive organized play tournaments. But I mean, Tier 1 Con was last year, and that was in Europe, and Marchesa was on the East Coast. They're going to be throwing Oktober. Marchesa was on the West Coast. They're going to be throwing Oktober in October, you know, on the East Coast. And that's ultimately what I think the future of competitive Magic, when it comes to more niche formats like CDH or even other niche formats like Pauper and stuff like that, things that Wizards doesn't directly support. I think that the community needs to take responsibility for itself to kind of say, like there should be a tournament scene for this. We want this tournament scene, and we want it to look like the way that's going to work for us. And I think that that's one thing that Monarch is currently addressing on a global scale, even, that no one else really is. So yeah, I have nothing but admiration for that particular organization.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to see just how that whole thing came together. I, again, feel really bad that I wasn't able to participate myself, but, you know, it's probably a good thing, given the fact I'm still new, and just the fact that, you know, cards are expensive. We've already talked about this. I mean, yeah, it's hard to be able to necessarily have the cards to buy in easily to CEDH. So again, but those things aside, it's really cool to be able to see the community come together and really have a good, strong, vibrant event that also really has a good outcome in raising money for such an important charity, important cause. So yeah, it was really awesome to be able to see that all come together and also just see some high quality gameplay come out of it as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The stream for that event is really, really good, and I would definitely suggest your listeners to go to Monarch Events, their website, and they have all of the games that they featured there. And it was the thing that I really liked about, just from a personal note, going to Marchesa was how much the meta felt familiar. Like I was, it was my first larger CDH tournament, so I was expecting to go and it'd just be like, oh wow, here are people like doing a bunch of stuff at a skill level that I've never seen before, and things that I wouldn't even have thought of yet. And no, it felt like playing really tough games at MOX on Wednesdays. Like that's what the Marchesa meta felt like. And that's not to downplay anybody who played at Marchesa or downplay the general skill level of the CDH community, just that we're all playing CDH. And I think that to any of your listeners who are sitting around their towns and going like, there isn't a CDH scene here, and I don't think there could be one, there definitely probably is, and it just hasn't organized itself yet. And I would definitely incentivize you to go out to your local stores, meet these people who want to play CDH, because they're probably way better and way more prepared for the global CDH scene than you would think.
Yeah, that actually, again, perfectly leads me into the final question I've got for you today, which was, how do you recommend someone out there listening to this episode goes about trying to organize their own CDH scene? Maybe just any kind of general tips on what to look for, maybe, again, some general things to try to, some obstacles that you might have to overcome. Just any general advice for anyone out there who is interested in starting up a scene but doesn't really know how to start.
I would say the step one is definitely meeting the people. Like find the people in your town who are playing CDH. Find those people and have as many conversations with them as you can. And try to get them all talking to each other so that you have this like wider network of CDH people who are all going to want to collaborate on making a scene happen. And then one second thing would be like learn to talk to shop owners and learn to talk to people who own LGSs, and learn some of those conversations, especially when it comes to proxies, will be pretty difficult, but they are navigable. And honestly, like LGSs, they want tournaments to happen, and they like it when tournaments happen. They make money off tournaments. They like it when people are in their stores. So generally you're going to be setting off on the right foot when you're just saying like, hey, like I have been talking to several people who are interested in CDH, and like we have a regular meetup every week where the X amount of people show up. And I think that if we were to throw a tournament in your store, that I would be able to have a poll of this of X amount of people. Being able to come to them with those types of numbers are going to give you a stronger argument than just walking into a store and being like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there was a CDH tournament here? So I would definitely say like work from the bottom up, like work from like just getting everybody talking to each other and getting people excited about CDH in the local area. And then from there, try to enter into a store and try to start having those conversations. The ones about proxies will be a little difficult, so do familiarize yourself with WPN's proxy policy. There's a lot of confusion around WPN's proxy policy and what it does and doesn't mean. And I won't go into lengths as to what it means, because I don't want to misquote anything or be cited as like a super authority on it, because the mm-hmm. document is out there, mm-hmm. and that is going to be the biggest authority of what the WPN is the Wizards Play Network, and they're the people who the LGSs have a relationship with, and the people who oversee what tournaments look like inside of LGSs. And so when a store owner is going to be kind of antsy about like what proxies look like and having proxies in their store and having proxies in their store in a tournament, the WPN is going to be the people who they're going to be the most concerned about what they're going to think about those tournaments. So, but the WPN is extremely transparent about their proxy policy. It's way more liberal and open than it would initially seem. And yeah, and I would definitely like just try to hone in on that. Yes, allowing people to go into your store, even if they're using proxies to play in a tournament, is still going to be profitable for not only you, but for everyone involved.
Yeah, definitely. And anyway, I think that takes us to the end of our show here, Topher. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. This has been a blast.
Oh yeah, it's been definitely good having you, and I've really been enjoying the chance to play CDH and learn CDH down at the LGS, and I look forward to, you know, playing more games with y'all in the future.
Hey, see you on Wednesday.
Yep. All right. And again, for anyone who is out there and who is currently local or who's stopping by the Portland area at some point in the future here and is interested in checking out the local CDH scene, what were those links again, or at least where can you find the PDX CDH social media accounts?
PDX CDH on Twitter, and then we do have a Discord, and we also have a Facebook page, so... the Twitter would probably be the easiest to access, but I mean, you just DM the Twitter page and I can definitely add you to the Discord or the Facebook group, whichever one makes you comfortable.
All right, sounds good. And if you're interested in hearing any of the previous episodes I've done on CDH or just any of the episodes I've done in general on the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker, Podchaser, Anchor, so many, I always forget some of them, but, you know, if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my podcast on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And again, you can find your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. There's two awesome options to check out, so definitely go to my link tree in the episode description, use my affiliate link, and every bit of support helps the channel. So definitely check those out at inkedgaming.com. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.